The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. Funding for Detroit coverage on The Takeaway is supported in part by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation.
Good morning, everyone. Well, the book that's making its way around Washington this week is called Confidence Men, Wall Street, Washington, and the Education of a President. The author is Ron Suskind, not Bob Woodward. No. It was Ron Suskind who got extraordinary access to the inner workings of the White House in the early days of the administration as the president learned how to deal with an economic crisis and also learned how to deal with Washington. The book is controversial. It raises a lot of questions about the administration and about Barack Obama himself. Joining us now is Ron Suskind, author of Confidence Men, Wall Street, Washington, and the Education of a President. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Let's just say that the overall premise here of this book or sort of analysis that comes through in this book over time, and it's a pretty dense read about a lot of stuff that happened, and it's really kind of terrifying to remember everything that happened in the early days of the Obama administration. But that this is a man who Washington absorbed rather than was led by the new president. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is. I think it is fair. You know, this book is really kind of a kind of rendering of America during this very difficult period. It's the fall of the economy. It starts in August of 2007 when the first warning signs are felt as there's something very wrong with the financial system. Obama's an asterisk at that point. He gets an early warning from a Wall Street guy. It's quite a moving moment where he sort of sees the future. It's a glimpse of the future. It's very sort of cinematic. And he's early. He's ahead of everybody.
This is Mr. Wolf.
What's about to happen. And then a year and a half later, he gets to Washington and he faces the challenges of the damned in terms of the combination of circumstances that fall upon him.
Two questions. There's a particular story that I want to focus on involving Rahm Emanuel, the president, and the economic advisors that seems to be telling and is a drama that's played out again and again in your book. But how prepared do you think President Barack Obama was, candidate Barack Obama was, to deal with this economic crisis? He was someone who emerged onto the political scene for his vote on the war in Iraq and had a sense of being very much about domestic politics in being the first African-American president, not necessarily as an economic theorist. How prepared was he?
Well, I think he found that he was trying to run up learning curves at enormous speed. Now, he's a brilliant man, and he's a quick study. I mean, as good as you get at that kind of thing. But what he was dealing with was not just trying to master economic theory up to this point, but having to essentially go beyond that because the crisis we were facing was not one America had faced. There were precedents, of course. This time is different. The Ken Rogoff book, Carmen Reinhart, you can read it all there. It's gone back for a long time when you have these debt-driven and debt overhang recessions or depressions. They take a long time. They're to get out of. They're very different. But the fact of the matter is he arrives with the right feelings, I think, the right ideas, but he kind of gets the wind knocked out of him early.
Let's talk specifically about this wind knocked out. There's a particular story on page 217 about Christina Romer and Larry Summers, who were part of the domestic economic policy team, attempting to get the president to do something big in response to the financial crisis.
Yeah.
And the president really getting shut down. Can you tell that story a little bit?
Sure. It's quite a moment. I think it's the most important decision he makes, arguably, in his entire presidency. You know, the president is there a month and a half after 2 million people are weeping on the mall. An extraordinary moment. And you can feel him saying, look, I can do this job. I can be the president people hope I can be. I'll fill it fully. And he's trying to master and does master, I think, the key issues of the crisis of a collapsing economy and a collapsed financial system. These things are linked. And he steps up in a big meeting in a very Rooseveltian way and says, look, I want to resolve, meaning shut down and reopen these big banks. They're a problem. We need to show accountability flows in both directions in America. We need to show government can handle this, can do this job. And in the meeting, there's a lot of debate between Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, and Larry Summers, who usually is with Geithner in a kind of first do no harm, cautious approach. But all of a sudden, Summers is with the president. This emboldens the president even more. Kristi Romer's with the president too. And at the midpoint of this very long Sunday meeting on March 15th, the president's like, "This is what I want to do." He's ready to go, but then they start arguing some more. He says, "Look, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to have dinner with the family. When I get back, I want this resolved." He leaves. Rahm Emanuel steps up and basically just kind of eviscerates the room with a lot of expletives, which I can't say on the radio.
But here's the line, Ron, and we do hear the F word a lot in this book from the mayor of Chicago now, former chief of staff.
Listen.
The job of everyone in this room, says Rahm Emanuel to that entire team, is to move the president, to get him off this position.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
That is the theme of this administration, according to this book.
Yeah, right there. And what happens is extraordinary. This is just one moment that is reflected later in memos to the president saying, "Mr. President, you need to take control of your White House, and here's how." But this is a signature incident of the kind of thing that really troubled people in the White Building. And so Rahm takes control. He huddles Larry and Tim together, opponents, frankly, at this point. And he says, "Look, everyone just sit down and shut up. Here's what you're doing." And they negotiate a compromise. The president comes back. Larry Summers says, kind of meekly at this point, "Look, Mr. President, Rahm said there's no way we're getting more money from Congress. The AIG bonus scandal had just blown up." He says, "We've lost our, you know, credibility." and so what I thought, Mr. President, Summers says, is that, we thought, is use $200 billion left in the TARP fund, remember the last fall's financial debacle, the government bailout, and use that to resolve just one bank, Citibank.
Right, right.
Let's close that down.
A huge move, a big strategy was replaced by a small strategy.
And ultimately what happens is that the president says he wants a plan for that, and he orders Geithner to do it. A month later, there is no plan, a huge month, and the president is outraged.
And it basically boils down to stress tests.
You know, there's been two criticisms leveled at your book, and I want to take them both separately. The first is that is from the people that you quote or whose stories you retell in your book. And they say that they've either been misquoted or misconstrued. Here's Timothy Geithner.
"I live the original, and the reality I lived bears no relation to the sad little stories I heard reported from that book."
And he's not the only one. Larry Summers said, "The hearsay attributed to me in the book is a combination of fiction, distortion, and words taken out of context." Both Anita Dunn and Christina Romer have both said that they were misconstrued or misquoted. What is your answer to that?
The sources and subjects of this book, in almost every case, were not only extensive. They're extensive interview. We had extensive interviews with them. But beyond that, at the end of the process, I go back and went through the letter and verse of what's in the book and got their responses actually in the book quite fully. Long taped responses, especially Tim Geithner, and I think that readers, since the book was out yesterday, are now reading the Treasury Secretary's response as to whether he slow walked the president. I think, you know, if he says he does, he did slow walk, meaning ignore the president's orders and wishes. If he admits to that, he essentially has to leave the government. I think his response is quite full. I don't think he actually denies it with any credibility in the long conversation we had. He has his explanation. He gamed the president. I don't see how you could read those two pages in Confidence Men and not come to that conclusion. As to the other subjects, each one of them different. Most of them are what we call non-denial denials generally in Washington. The exception would be Anita Dunn, who has gone, for whatever reason, she was communications director. She's going back to work for the Obama campaign, her husband's general counsel. Anita and I had a variety of conversations, several of them long conversations, interviews, and that has been worked out through the media. The Washington Post confirmed that the quote in the book is exactly as Anita said in an interview we had in April. I did something I'd never done before. I called in another news establishment to listen to the tape. The Post-it mm-hmm. said, yes, exactly as in the book.
Well, we only have 1 minute left. So, Ron, I wanted to get to the next one, which is the idea that there are some factual errors in there. Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, has said so. There are a few things. David Axelrod in the book, as I misidentified as a campaign manager. The unemployment rate was listed as 8% in June of 2009 instead of 9.5. What about factual errors?
Well, you know, there are some typos in the book. It's a 500-page book. Many of them were corrected, on the first press before many books were published. The book is sound in the thousands and thousands of facts in the book, and its themes and investigative disclosures are rock solid.
Ron Suskind is author of Confidence Men, Wall Street, Washington, and the Education of a President. Ron, thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.